Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Friday, May 7th. Welcome to Think for Yourself. I'm Carol Gold. I'm going to do a really quick history lesson here, and the reason is I found an incredible example of why it's so important that we think for ourselves. And I want to start with and finish with Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, if you don't know who he was an escaped slave who became a national leader in the abolitionist movement. He was known for what a great speaker he was and his anti-slavery writings. In fact, he traveled the world. He traveled both the United States and Europe speaking about the abolitionist movement. Originally, Douglass thought that the Constitution was pro-slavery. And this was probably the result of his mentor, William Lloyd Garrison, who was also a prominent abolitionist and a social reformer and a suffragist, by the way. However, when Frederick Douglass finally read the Constitution, our Constitution, the United States Constitution, himself, here's his quote about the Three-Fifths Clause. You know the Three-Fifths Clause. It's what the whole anti-white, white supremacy, white privilege, oppression of blacks, it's where it's all founded. All of that argument is founded in the Three-Fifths Clause, which said that slaves were the equivalent of three-fifths of a vote. Or as some people like to say, three-fifths of a person. It was never three-fifths of a person. It was three-fifths of a vote. So here's the quote from Frederick Douglass. Remember, an African-American escaped slave. He said, quote, "The three-fifths compromise was a downright disability laid upon the slave-holding states that deprived them of two-fifths of their natural basis of representation," end quote. What does that mean in practicality? Well, let me just tell you that in 1790, when we took the census, the northern states had 1.8 million free white people. The southern states had 1.1 million free white people and 633,000 slaves. So in fact, those populations were very nearly equal, the North and the South. However, by the time of the Civil War, the slave population was 4 million in the South. The slaves, had they voted and counted as one vote, those slave states would have prevailed had the three-fifth compromise not been initiated, not been part of the Constitution, and had slavery, in fact, have been legal. Slavery would have been legal. So let me just try to sum it up before I talk to you in this episode about why it's so important to think for yourself. The southern states, which is where slavery occurred, wanted to keep slavery. The northern states wanted to abolish it. Had the southern states been able to count black people's votes as a single full vote, there would have been many millions more votes for slavery in the South, and the South would have kept slavery legal. So what you've been hearing lately, I don't know what you were taught in school growing up, but what you've been hearing lately is this reference to the Three-Fifths Clause being racist, all about only counting black people, African-American slaves, as three-fifths of a person. No, it wasn't three-fifths of a person. It was three-fifths of a vote. And it was done deliberately to end slavery. Okay. So why the history lesson on a podcast of Think for Yourself? Two reasons. One, you can see how if you know history, if you read it in its own words, that was Frederick Douglass, a freed slave. He had no reason to support what would have otherwise been seen as a racist clause to the Constitution, or had it had an intent to keep Black people as being considered only three-fifths of a human being. But you have to read it in its own words. You have to read the founders. You have to read Frederick Douglass. And you have to not read the New York Times and the Washington Post and all of the current periodicals that want you to believe what isn't true, that want you to believe that a lie is true and that truth is a lie. Okay, but here's the reason that's even more important than that. We are divided now as we were at the Civil War. This country is as divided as it has been since the Civil War. You know it and I know it. And for whatever reason, what's going on is being done under the guise of ending racism. But in fact, it is perpetuating, it is actually resurrecting racism because there's two parts to what's being marketed now. The first part is that we are a racist society. And the second part is that the cure to that is to be racist and to demean and ostracize and segregate white people. Well, that's just ridiculous. Assuming we were a racist country, you'd never cure it by being racist. So we are as divided as we have ever been. What happened when we were this divided was that 600,000 plus Americans died on the battlefields of the Civil War. We killed 600,000 plus of our own people in an effort to end slavery. We're there. We're there. We are divided. We are vehemently divided. We are dug in our positions. So what do? Is civil war the answer? No. We have evolved beyond violence. Let us hope and let us pray. But we have something more powerful than guns. Because true power isn't force. True power is knowing how to use energy properly. As I write about in my book, The Questions God Will Ask Prepping for the Final Exam. Or read Power Versus Force, a classic book on the difference between power and force, between true power and physical force. We have something very powerful. I use it every time I have a podcast. We have the written and spoken word. We have the ability to stand up and speak up and look this nonsense in the face and say, that's a lie. I am not a white supremacist. I am not a racist. I don't hate Black people. I am not financially responsible for what happened to Black slaves in the 1600s and 1700s. That is not my financial obligation. My obligation is to treat every human being, regardless of their color, equally, not equitably. Not equitably. There's a difference between equality and equity. Equality talks about access, opportunity, the potential to enter into, whether it's the workforce or any other aspect of society, that everyone should have that same opportunity. Equity is outcomes. Equity is, I assure you, that no matter how little you work or how much you work or how little taxes you pay or how much tax you pay or how much education you're willing to expose yourself to or how little, I promise you that you're all going to end up with the same stuff. You're all going to end up with the same thing. Equity is an outcome-oriented concept. We are not a country built on equity. We are a country built on equality. And so the key is to think for yourself. The key is to find out whether what you're being sold, and it is being sold now, there's a whole version, whether only Black lives matter or all lives matter, whether all cops are bad or only some cops are bad, whether deficit spending is any better or worse than tax and spend. These are all issues that you need to pay attention to. Whether your students, your children are being taught as students the true history of the United States with its good and its bad, or whether they're being taught a revised and biased and politically driven agenda version. This is our job now, and this is the power that we have, the power of the word spoken and written. And so I quote as often as I can Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran pastor who attempted to bring down Hitler. Not to speak is to speak. Not to stand is to stand. It's not okay now to be silent. You have a voice. Use it. Use it every chance you get. Use it for every truth you know to be real. And use it to say, no, I will not be intimidated into bowing, into scraping, into empowering someone else so much that I become enslaved to their empowerment. I'm Carol Gold. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast of Think for Yourself. And remember, until I'm back here on Monday, please do think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.